A veteran tech investor watches in horror as the platform he helped build transforms into a weapon against democracy itself. By 2016, Roger McNamee, early Facebook advisor and longtime believer, could no longer ignore what was unfolding before his eyes. Misogynistic propaganda flooding Bernie Sanders groups, Brexit's shocking outcome driven by algorithmic fear-mongering, and coordinated attacks that felt anything but organic. The company he'd championed had become something far more dangerous than anyone imagined. What makes his story particularly chilling isn't just the scale of manipulation he uncovered, but how Facebook's design made such manipulation inevitable. This wasn't a bug in the system. It was the system working exactly as intended. Silicon Valley's brutal constraints, scarce processing power, memory, bandwidth, vanished rapidly. Storage costs plummeted from $10 per gigabyte to cents between 2000 and 2004. Amazon Web Services let startups rent servers hourly. Open source software proliferated. Suddenly, inexperience became an advantage. Mark Zuckerberg staffed Facebook with young programmers, molding them without seasoned engineers questioning security or ethics. Move fast and break things fueled growth, but created vulnerabilities that, at 2 billion users, rippled across democracies. Silicon Valley's libertarian ethos prioritized individual achievement over collective responsibility. The meritocracy produced workforces under 2% Black, 3% Hispanic, and 15% women in technical roles, homogeneity that narrowed acceptable ideas and warped product design. Reagan-era deregulation removed barriers just as network effects enabled unprecedented scale. Facebook rocketed from 1 million to 100 million users in 4 years, growth traditional media needed decades to achieve. The result? A platform maximizing engagement without considering consequences, led by an inexperienced, ideologically uniform team operating with virtually no oversight, wielding influence over billions. Facebook isn't a social network. It's an attention-harvesting machine optimized for time on site. Former Google ethicist Tristan Harris calls it a race to the bottom of the brainstem, targeting primitive emotions like outrage and fear because they're easier to trigger than thoughtful reflection. Short videos outperform journalism. Animated GIFs beat analysis. The algorithms learn frighteningly fast. With billions of users generating constant data, Facebook's AI knows you better than you know yourself and sells that knowledge to anyone willing to pay. The platform eliminates stopping cues through infinite scroll, creates unpredictable rewards like a slot machine, and triggers social validation loops that humans find neurologically irresistible. This design pushes users into filter bubbles where everyone thinks alike, amplifying extremism. As few as 1 to 2% of coordinated actors can steer entire conversations. As intelligence expert Clint Watts observes, whoever gets the most likes is in charge. Whoever gets the most shares is an expert. Facebook profits from the chaos.
February 2004. Harvard sophomore Mark Zuckerberg launches thefacebook.com. Within a month, half of Harvard students registered. Strategic expansion to elite universities created prestige that fueled explosive growth. Unlike competitors, Facebook conceptualized itself as a social graph, a mathematical network where information flows between nodes, enabling unprecedented data collection. The 2012 IPO changed everything. $16 billion raised brought Wall Street pressure to monetize users. Facebook integrated third-party data brokers, tracked users across the internet through like buttons, and developed tools like custom audiences for surgical precision targeting. The Facebook Pixel allowed tracking across websites, building detailed psychological profiles of billions. Monthly users grew from 1 billion 2012 to 2.1 billion 2017, while annual revenue exploded from 5 billion to 40.7 billion. The real power came from metadata, digital breadcrumbs from every click, scroll, and pause. Advertisers moved from demographic targeting to individualized manipulation. The platform could identify pregnancy before announcements, relationship troubles before acknowledgement, and political vulnerabilities before self-recognition. The college social network had become perhaps the most sophisticated surveillance apparatus in human history, and we voluntarily handed over the data. In February 2016, McNamee spotted misogynistic anti-Hillary content flooding Bernie Sanders' Facebook groups at impossible speeds, clear artificial amplification. More red flags followed. Third-party brokers sold Black Lives Matter supporter data to law enforcement. Brexit's shocking outcome revealed Facebook's algorithm systematically favored fear-based messaging. Investigative journalists discovered Facebook's ad tools enabled housing discrimination by letting landlords exclude specific racial groups from seeing listings. By November 2016, McNamee sent Zuckerberg and Sandberg a detailed memo outlining platform weaponization, citing Johnson & Johnson's exemplary 1982 Tylenol response, immediately pulling products nationwide, prioritizing public safety over profits. Facebook's leadership dismissed his warnings as a PR problem, not a democratic threat. McNamee partnered with Tristan Harris, whose background exposing psychological manipulation proved invaluable. Their meeting with Senator Mark Warner revealed sophisticated Russian interference beginning in 2013, targeting immigration, gun rights, and racial tensions. Russian operatives exploited Facebook's lookalike audiences tool to target activists and potential non-voters while creating fake groups on opposing sides to amplify division. Facebook eventually disclosed the evidence, $100,000 spent on 3,000 ads from 470 fake accounts. Researcher Jonathan Albright's analysis revealed the horrifying scale. Posts from just six Russian-sponsored groups generated 340 million shares. Facebook's algorithm had amplified divisive content to massive reach with minimal investment. March 2018 brought devastating revelations. A Science magazine study found disinformation spreads 70% more often than truth and six times faster. A UN report accused Facebook of enabling ethnic cleansing of the Rohingya in Myanmar, calling it a beast. Then came the bombshell. Cambridge Analytica harvested 50 million Facebook profiles through researcher Alexander Kogan's personality test app. The app collected data not just from 270,000 test takers, but from all their friends, a feature Facebook had deliberately enabled for psychological profiling and political manipulation. Facebook's damage control backfired. Security VP Alex Stamos denied it was a data breach, inadvertently confirming such harvesting was routine. Cambridge Analytica matched at least 30 million profiles with U.S. voter files, approximately 13% of eligible American voters. Trump won the Electoral College by just 77,744 votes across three states, making Cambridge Analytica's targeting appear decisive. Most damning, Facebook had known about the Kogan-Cambridge Analytica connection since December 2015, but took minimal action. They even continued employing Joseph Chancellor, Kogan's partner in the data harvesting operation. The scandal confirmed relentless growth pursuit had led Facebook to disregard moral obligations to users, with potentially decisive consequences in a presidential election. Facebook influences nearly 40% of the world's population across its platforms, 2.2 billion on Facebook alone, billions more on WhatsApp, Messenger, and Instagram. This single company shapes elections, enables hate speech, and fundamentally alters how billions perceive reality. Harvard professor Jonathan Zittrain proposes extending fiduciary rules to data-intensive companies, requiring platforms to prioritize user interests over profits. Unlike doctors and lawyers who must safeguard client privacy, internet platforms currently sell our most intimate information. A fiduciary standard would create legal remedies beyond the arbitration clauses buried in unread terms of service. But regulation alone won't save us. We have more power than we realize. Platforms need our attention to survive. We can resist by insisting on human-driven technology, breaking out of filter bubbles, and applying critical thinking to everything we encounter online. The greatest threat to democracy in our lifetime has been enabled by internet platforms, not because social networking is evil, but because entrepreneurs chose to monetize it through manipulation and surveillance. We've become the product, our attention the commodity, our vulnerabilities the profit center. We built this system. We can unbuild it, but only if we act now, before the algorithm completes its work of fragmenting society beyond repair.